Burden, Brother and Sister. J.A. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. May 7th, 1903. Dear Brother and Sister Burden, I have received and read your letters. I can write but a short letter in reply, as I am unable to tax my head or my eyes too severely. I feel very grateful to my Heavenly Father that He comes very near to me and strengthens me by His rich grace. The burdens I carried at the conference taxed my strength severely, but the Lord strengthened me, and I had evidence that He had a work for me there. As I was unable to walk to the meetings and could not conveniently get the use of a horse and carriage, I was taken to and from the church in a comfortable wheelchair rented from a second-hand furniture store. I spoke several times before the large congregation gathered in the Oakland church. The second Sabbath, I was in doubt as to the advisability of attempting to speak, as I had contracted a severe cold. But I dared not remain at home, so I said, "I will place myself in a position to speak, and then, if I am unable, I will be humble enough to refrain from speaking." I found the church crowded. To the praise of God, upheld and sustained by His power, I was enabled to speak for an hour and a quarter. Some who for 40 years have frequently heard me speak said they had never before heard me give so powerful a discourse. No one could doubt that the power of God rested upon me. Before I took my seat, I asked all to rise to their feet who would seek to meet the mind of the Holy Spirit, and pledge themselves, by God's help, to put away all murmuring and complaining and all evil speaking, who would cease to hinder one another by setting a wrong example. Nearly all in the congregation rose, testifying that they would seek to advance the work of God instead of hindering it. Then we knelt. And as my soul was drawn out in earnest prayer, the congregation realized that the power of God was upon me. I had much reason to be thankful that the Lord so evidently sustained me. I asked the congregation to sing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." This hymn was a prayer to God in which all could join, and I know that angels of God united with the petition that rose from so many hearts and voices. I was sustained during all the time I was at the conference, and a few days before the close of the gathering, I returned to St. Helena. The strain upon me had been heavy. Since the conference, the brethren have been in council at Battle Creek. I have been greatly encouraged to hear from the brethren there that unity and love exist among them. This is a great victory. I hope that there may not be a shadow of discord at our sanitarium in Sydney. I would say, constantly draw near to God, and when you are all one with Christ, you will be united in holy Christian fellowship. We each need the help we can receive from other minds. God will work in other minds than ours. The various gifts given to different ones are to blend for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 11, 12. I have been instructed to say to our medical missionary workers in America that the yoke of forms and ceremonies must be broken from their necks. Our medical missionary work has been sick and in need of a physician. The Lord Jesus Christ will heal our infirmities and our weaknesses. He owns us. We are His by creation and by redemption. We must all be united in Him. He is the only source of healing. All restoring power comes from Him. He has opened a fountain to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13, verse 1. He gives each one an invitation to come and be healed and to drink of the water of life. Let us not trust in ourselves, but in Jesus. There will always be obstacles before us, but we are to follow our leader, meeting our difficulties unitedly, hand in hand. There is only one way to heaven. We must walk in the footsteps of Jesus, doing his works, even as he did the works of his Father. We must study his ways, not man's ways. We must obey his will, not our own. Walk carefully. Do not go ahead of Christ. Make no move without consulting your leader. Ask in humble prayer, and ye shall receive. He is the way, the truth, the life. John 16, verse 24, 14, 6.
Read and study carefully the prayer that Christ offered just before his trial, recorded in the 17th chapter of John. Follow its teachings, and you will be brought into unity. Our only hope of reaching heaven is to be one with Christ, and then, in and through Christ, we shall be one with one another. No one is called to walk alone. In Christ, life and immortality are brought to light. He has opened the way to the kingdom of heaven to those who believe in him. But he assigns to no one a path different to that which all must travel. He calls for unity, and unity we must have. God asks us to sink self in Christ. For the natural man, this is not easy. But through the power of the incarnation of Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the strength of God is revealed in gentleness and beauty. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 1, verse 12. By this power we may overcome our evil tendencies and so modify our imperfect dispositions that the will of God may be fulfilled in us. We are all God's little children, members of one family. We must each be refreshed by the same living stream that we may find true elevation of soul. We must all be united when we reach the heavenly courts. We are to be one with Christ. He is our pattern. We are commanded to be followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Our liberty is found in wearing Christ's yoke. Follow me, he says, in humble, practical obedience. If you walk by yourself, the obstacles in the road will be insurmountable. Believe in me. Commit the keeping of your soul to me. I wish to speak particularly in reference to the establishment of food stores in various places. I have no light that this is your work. It is not clearly defined to me as the work for which you are best qualified. If you can connect with the doctor's cress, this will be of great benefit both to you and to them. The Lord would have you labor together in unity, even though your ideas and plans are not exactly alike. Men and women of different dispositions must unite in labor, working without contention or strife. Both you and Dr. Kress should stand in a conciliatory position. Remember that no one is free from mistakes. May the Lord help you, my dear friends. Now let me speak as a mother to you both. You ought not to be troubled with dyspepsia if you partake of simply prepared food and eat nothing between meals. Let your stomach rest when you sleep. A tainted breath and a coated tongue indicate that undigested food is lying in the stomach. Let not your work show the effect of errors in diet. This is not health reform. I am instructed to tell you that the Lord would have you improve your dietetic habits. You need to study carefully what foods you are best able to digest. For years you have been doing injury to your digestive organs, and you now need to exercise care. Unless by correct habits you place yourself on the list of health reformers, you cannot properly do the work of the Lord. You should stand where you can be of the greatest use in his cause.